Hello, Low Country. This is longtime ESPN commentator Dr. Jerry Punch, inviting you to listen to the Scott Hamilton Show every day right here on 98.9 ESPN Charleston. Because as everyone knows, Scott is a legend in his own mind.
I've never seen anything quite like it. Let's see if our guest has ever witnessed anything like this. She purveys all things ACC for WRAL in Raleigh. Lauren Brownlow, a belated Happy New Year.
Hey, Happy New Year.
How did you celebrate New Year's, Lauren?
By trying to stay up until midnight. And, I was watching college football. So, you know, there's that. And then, yeah, just kind of trying to stay awake until midnight, basically. That's pretty much it. We went to dinner as a family because it's my sister-in-law's birthday on New Year's Eve. So we went out to dinner for that. And then, yeah, that took a lot out of me. I'm too old for New Year's Eve stuff.
Yeah, I did a radio hit in Los Angeles and went to sleep. And I woke up and I'm like, crap, it's a new year. That's how it rolls. Lauren, let me get your take. I'm sure you heard me as we brought you in. These ACC teams, they're very, very, very mediocre looking. I don't know quite what to make of it. Have you ever seen anything like this at this point in the season?
Yeah, I don't recall a season like this in recent years, honestly. Like, I am somebody that will sort of defend the whatever the predominant narrative is about the ACC. And I think that there have been years in the past where the ACC has been treated a little unfairly because they've had more elite teams. You know, they've had more teams that are competitive in the middle of the pack, like in a good way. And now, and you alluded to it, I think it's kind of right now it appears to be Duke and it appears to be everybody else. And I mean that almost literally at this point, right? Like, I thought Pitt and Boston College were bad enough that they weren't going to threaten or beat anybody, but that doesn't seem to be the case. Tell me how this makes sense, right? Notre Dame loses to Boston College by like 17 points. Carolina beats Boston College by like 30. Notre Dame beat Kentucky, which also beat Carolina by 30. I mean, we can't make it make sense. And I feel like we're going to get a lot of results like that. I mean, we've seen Pitt. I mean, Pitt has been terrible all year, but then they have a close game with Louisville, who I think we all thought would be better. We see Syracuse blow an 18-point lead to Miami. Miami hasn't looked very impressive. I think part of the problem, too, is that none of these teams have done anything out of conference to build themselves up in a way that makes it a positive for anybody in the ACC to beat them during conference play, right? And so everybody's kind of running out of chances to prove themselves. Somebody's going to have to get on a winning streak and pass the eye test, I guess, probably to wow the committee enough to let them in, because you're not going to get there by just beating a bunch of ACC teams necessarily, you know? So, it just appears to be a season where not a lot is going to make sense.
Yeah, you mentioned Pitt, and that's a prime example right there. This is a Pitt team that lost the opener to the Citadel at home by 15, but they have five losses by a total of 10 points, and that includes their last two games. I'm looking at Louisville 75, Pitt 72, and then before that, Notre Dame 68, Pitt 67. And Louisville, Notre Dame, I guess that second tier of the ACC. I don't know what to make of it. It's almost like it's becoming a football conference. How about that?
Yeah, I mean, kind of, right? Because you have one team kind of carrying the weight at the top and everybody else sort of beating themselves and not doing anything out of conference to hang their hat on. So, yeah, like, that is a football feeling. I think most years you see teams do enough out of conference, or at least schedule well enough out of conference to where they get out of there with a good enough record and maybe have at least a couple wins in the holster, so to speak. And that just has not been the case this year. It really hasn't. I mean, even Virginia, who used to be a little more dependable, in Florida State, I mean, I think a lot of people thought, you know, they weren't going to win the national title this year, but maybe they would be top 25-ish teams, and neither of them are close to that right now. And I think Syracuse is another one. I mean, Syracuse, I think people thought with everything they had coming back, they would be better. They're 500. This is the latest they've ever been 500 under Jim Boeheim.
That is, like, incredible.
How is this going on?
Yeah, it's what, 46 years as the head coach, something nutty like that? That is incredible.
Yeah.
It's incredible. We're joined by Lauren Brownlow, WRAL in Raleigh. You can follow her on Twitter at Ellie Brownlow. And Lauren, one of the programs that's gotten my attention, and you touched on it earlier, was North Carolina. North Carolina got absolutely dismantled by Kentucky. But by and large, it's been a pretty good season, maybe not necessarily by Carolina standards under Hubert Davis, first year as the head coach of the Tar Heels. How would you, as someone who's intimately knowledgeable of this program, how would you assess his performance as a head coach up to this point, and in what direction do you see UNC trending going forward?
You know, I think it's hard to hang some of their issues, or really a lot of them, on Hubert specifically, because we've seen them, at least defensively, trending in this direction for a while. I think we have seen Hubert modernize their offense some, and we've seen sort of the benefits of that. I mean, they're very good offensively right now. They've done a good job, but they are bad on defense. And, you know, it's, I think we've seen them, though, struggle with that at times in the Roy Williams era, too, especially in the latter years of it. You know, this isn't a new thing. It's not a new thing to see Carolina get blown out anymore. And that, I think, is what's kind of alarming, right, is that, like, it's not a new thing to see Carolina get blown out. It's not a new thing to see Carolina not stop anybody on the defensive end and then hear whoever the head coach is talk about toughness and want to and all the other stuff, you know? So that, I think, is the interesting part. And, you know, all the guys, they all say all the right things, you know, after the game. And that's been the case for years of, like, this is an unacceptable effort. We have to lock in, blah, 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 yada, yada, yada. But, like, that's just that this has been, I mean, you could go all the way back to even maybe the Texas A&M game in the NCAA tournament, I think in 18, I think it was, you know, the year after the national title. I mean, they just got punked in that game. You know, then Auburn punks them. I mean, we saw what Kentucky did to them this year. You know, it's not a big deal to take a blowout loss, right? That in and of itself is not that big a deal. It's not that big a deal to take a loss. It's just kind of all in how these things play out, right? Like, for them to get blown out and just not be able to get a stop whatsoever, you know, that's a concern, you know, and listening to Hubert Davis last night, I don't know that he has a whole lot of answers, but at the same time, to be fair to him, I don't know that Roy Williams did either when he was still the head coach. So, yeah, I don't know how much of the issues that we're seeing from Carolina this year can be directly pinned on Hubert Davis at this point.
Lauren, one of the programs that seems to always have some kind of turmoil, some kind of controversy surrounding it is NC State. The Wolfpack 8-7, 1-3 in ACC play. They lost those three ACC games by, I believe, a total of 15 points, indicating they're not getting their doors blown off, but they're not winning them either. And there are some rumblings, some people complaining that maybe it's time to move on from Kevin Keats. I think this is, what, his fifth or sixth year as the head coach of the Wolfpack. And I know he's been criticized for how his usage of timeouts and all that. What are you hearing in Raleigh, and how would you grade his status as the head coach of the Wolfpack going into 2022?
I mean, I think, you know, could you make a case that maybe, like, some in-game stuff, you know, does he get some of that wrong from time to time? I guess, you know, yeah, and I think that that's not an unfair critique necessarily, but I would say this. I remember the Mark Gottfried era, and I remember at the end of it, there were so many State fans that just said to me, we know we're not going to win all the games or whatever it is. We want to have a team we can be proud of watching, you know, a team that tries night in and night out and always gives effort. And we want that to be our culture. You know, we don't want to watch a team go out there and go through the motions like you would see sometimes during the Gottfried era. And so they're getting that, you know, like it or not, like the results or not, you know, like some of the in-game stuff or not, that's what they're getting. To me, that's what the identity of this program under Kevin Keats has been, especially in the last couple of years when, you know, they've really been hit hard by some critical injuries, you know. I mean, Devin Daniels last year, Manny Bates this year, just 30 seconds into the season, you know, and they just continue to fight. I never see them, you really just don't see them hang their heads. Do they sometimes lose the thread a little bit down the stretch of games? Sure. But right now they're, you know, they're relying on a lot of guys that I don't know that they always thought they'd have to rely on. And I think you've seen players really develop under Kevin Keats. Jericho Helms is not having the best year, but we saw him step up last year and really, you know, carry that team after Devin Daniels went down. You've seen what Darian Sebron is doing this year. I mean, and those are just two off the top of my head. So, I mean, I think that it depends on who you ask around here, right? And it's one thing helping Kevin Keats is that he's a likable guy. I think everyone likes Kevin Keats very much, and he has a great personality, so he won't have the dreaded, no offense to Herb Sendek, the Herb Sendek effect there, you know, where he's not exactly a guy that the force of his personality is going to get you to give him a break. Kevin Keats is that kind of guy. I think these kids play hard for him. I think he's just kind of been dealt some bad blues over the last couple of years. And, you know, who knows? I know Joe Giglio here locally at 99.9, who's covered NC State for years, feels like you know, maybe if they can hire sort of an X and O-E type coach assistant for Kevin Keats and the school invests in that for him. You know, we saw that happen with Dave Doran, you know, that he made some staff changes and we've seen the benefits of that. You know, maybe that's something that NC State will look into and see if they can tweak a few things here and there. But I don't think it's time to move on, just because I think the culture, I mean, that's an overused word, I know, but I think the culture he's established there in terms of guys that don't quit and play hard is a good one and an admirable one. And you've seen some positive signs of progress, but they've just been dealt a lot of bad blows in the last couple of years.
Yeah, even Phil Jackson at Tex Winter, bringing in the triangle offense and being that X's and O's for him.
Here's the other thing, too. Think about this. They played a Purdue team that has multiple seven-footers that are among the best players in the country. They did that without Manny Bates, with essentially one big, because I think one of their other bigs that's in the rotation now was still hurt back then. And they took that team to overtime. You know what I mean? Like, to me, like, did they lose the lead? Yes. But also, how did they do that? You know, like, it's kind of insane when you think about it. And so I think Kevin Keats knows what he's doing a little bit. You know, for him to be able to kind of coach around that matchup issue is a big deal to me. I don't think it's meaningless. Like, I had State fans tell me, oh, well, but they didn't win the game, and that's almost worse. It's like, oh, that's worse? You'd rather lose by 30? Like, I don't know what you want out of this situation, you know? So I think that there are signs of progress, and I think they're going to beat some people. I really do. They're going to beat some people that they're probably not supposed to this year.
And, Lauren, before we let you go, we have to give you 60 seconds to just vent on the Carolina Panthers and or Coach Matt Rhule.
Oh, my God. I mean, he said after the game the other day that, like, Sam Darnold made some good throws. And I watched the game. Like, I saw Sam Darnold's throw chart. I don't know why he continues to do this thing where he's, like, coddling Sam Darnold after he has not shied away from criticizing Cam Newton, who's, like, most beloved player in franchise history, maybe besides Steve Smith. And you know, and criticizing Teddy Bridgewater, too. I don't think it's a good look for him. I think that you saw that article from The Athletic by Joe Person. I mean, it's a mess there right now, and I don't think his own players even take him seriously. I know some people have said that he's not going to get fired unless something crazy happens. I don't know. If things keep going the way that they are going and there is no discernible sign of improvement and it keeps being really embarrassing, David Tepper does not strike me as the type of guy that's going to put up with that, and especially if you know that, like, it's not going to get better. Like, what is the sign it's going to get better? And I think that's where a lot of Panthers fans are, including me. Like, why is it going to get better? How do we know that? Like, based on what? The process is working. Okay, why? You know, explain it to us. Don't just treat us like we're dumb and that we can't see what's happening right in front of us, because we can all see it. But give us a reason for hope. And right now, I mean, I don't see any.
Three things in response to that, Lauren Brownlow. Number one, he coddles Sam Darnold because that's his guy. And as we know, Matt Rhule cannot accept responsibility for anything. He always passes the buck or throws somebody under the bus. So how dare we question him for picking up Sam Darnold? Make no mistake about it, he does those personnel moves, not the clown in the front office, Scott Fritter. Number two, I found it very troubling, and we talked about this yesterday, that during the postgame press conference, he kept saying he saw growth from Sam Darnold, and he was growing, which indicates, again, we're going to be tethered to that guy next season. And then number three, well, him not wanting to give us proof of the process and all that is exactly how he sold himself to David Tepper. He's a heck of a salesman. It's a smoke and mirrors show.
Yeah, and I think that's why David Tepper, and there's been references to this in the last couple of weeks, feels humiliated. You know, like, he's embarrassed. Because I think he feels like he got sold a bill of goods, honestly. Like, and honestly, that's been my issue with Matt Rhule from the jump. He's always had a very college coach mentality. And I'm not saying college coaches can't work at this level, but I do think they need to show some awareness that this level is different. You can't just take whatever you did at Baylor and Temple and translate that process into the NFL. Like, it just doesn't work that way. And I think, too, you know, I know what you're saying about Darnold and the coddling and everything else and why he's doing it, and I get that. You're right, and that it is his guy. He's gone in with this guy and whatever. But at the same time, like, his players read the things he says. Like, And that's part of the reason I think that, guys don't – he's not being taken seriously. And if your locker room doesn't take you seriously at this level, in college you can make guys take you seriously, you know. You can't do that in the NFL. You can't make them take you seriously. They're gonna take you seriously or they don't. And I think it's pretty clear right now, especially with the regression of the defense, that they don't.
Yeah, we have a thing down here to describe the two-headed incompetent football monster running the Panthers. It's called Tool. It's David Tepper, Matt Rhule. It's called the Tool. The Tool effect. You can have that, Lauren. That
yeah,
one's free.
I don't even want to throw Fitterer into that because, like, I don't know what, you know, I have no idea what level of authority he has, to be honest with you.
Well, that would be Fool.
It's not clear.
That would be Fool, Fitterer and Rhule. Fool. She trumped us, Trent.
Fool. Cool. There you go. Cool.
She's Lauren Brownlow, WRAL in Raleigh. You can follow her on Twitter at Ellie Brownlow. Lauren, as always, a pleasure. I hope you can get your blood pressure down. Enjoy the rest of your day. Just chill out a little bit.
Thanks.